movement, numbers, plants, animals, fun, colors, insects. Take care and cast your ears out to catch a story from the world of other young things. Reach out, up, under, and over. Sing a song. Talk about feelings. Just remember the magic word. The magic word is no. Step on into the secret kindergarten. Saturdays, 2 p.m. to 3 p.m. Eastern Time. Right here on Revolution Radio.
Anarcho-syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of
be
more...
Be quiet. I order you to be quiet.
Look, you stupid bastard. You've got no arms left.
Yes, I have.
Look.
It's just a flesh wound.
I don't believe I've seen such a display of courage, skill, nerve, grace, and stupidity.
I'll do you for that.
What?
Come here. What are you going to do, bleed on me? I'm invincible.
You're a loony.
The Black Knight always triumphs.
Roundtable Live, Monday through Friday, 1 a.m. till 4 a.m. Eastern Time. Bring your mind, bring your ideas, bring your voice. King Arthur had nothing on us. Here, Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. All right, thanks for listening while we took that short break here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. And now we're going to get back to your host.
I think JB was going to try.
There it is. There it is, Mechanic. Oh, you, baby.
I can't see them.
Mechanic's on mute.
Okay, it looks like the
we are back on the air, ladies and gentlemen. Thanks for your patience. We do appreciate it. Some technical difficulties there, but we have managed to make it happen. So I think we were going to give the mic over to Harry. Some very interesting relationships. Shall we? Go ahead, Harry. The mic's all yours.
Okay. Thanks. I was just trying to find this Peter Lavender documentary or report he's done, which he highlights the fact that. The Orthodox Roman Catholic Church in America, American Orthodox Roman Catholic Church, I should say, is basically a blend or a front for black ops Jesuits and CIA and FBI, people to do all sorts of crazy stuff. Let's see, I'm trying to find it. I'll see if I can. That's about all I can talk about at the moment, because it goes into it names names and tells people, shows you all the people involved. But I'll try and find it, because it's going to be very interesting information, because I think all of us are born with this, open sort of naivety to believe what we're told, and when we sort of snap out of it, we realize how deep the rabbit hole goes. It goes like just in so many aspects of our society and culture that we're just, it spins your head to try to catch up, to try and get you, get some context around it all. But this is what we're dealing with. This is people like Peter Lavender. Tell it from his professional or experiential point of view. So, anyway, that's all I've got to say for the moment. So if you want to talk about something else, I'll find it and I can bring it in or something at a later stage. And also, too, about the why do you think that the Islam was invented by the Roman Catholic Church? And from, you know, even the wars in Iraq, it replicates the same sort of thing. All they are after is the artifacts and the knowledge of the hidden stuff to spread the network through that religion to, you know, the Arabic world, to find the information they needed to go and retrieve the things that they were after. Because knowledge is power, as they say, you know, and it's true. But it's the people who actually have it, really have it, it's corruptible. It's very corruptible, of course, obviously, because they don't want to share it. But we can figure it out for ourselves.
Yeah, I think that's what we need to do. It's there's so much knowledge out there. But if we don't use our discernment and our instincts, which, you know, were given to us from God, then, you know, from the creator, that God, not these other gods, then that we feel the knowledge. We feel it. We know when something is true. Even if we never heard about it before, when we see something or we feel something or something is said to us, we know it's true because of the knowledge that has always been in us. And as for the Muslims, like, we've had Muslims in this country for a couple of hundred years. You know, they all came over early. So, you know, that's a misconception. You know, the programming that's happened, that the Muslims are the bad guys, these is like Hamas. That was formed by Israel. So all of these so-called terrorist groups, they're all formed by, you know, the CIA and, you know, Zionists and whatever to cause problems and divide us. So was
what was the one they used to, that we were always saying that was out there? The American call. And also the pineal gland, if we could heal our pineal glands more and get them stimulated, we could activate a better conscious world.
Exactly, yeah. Yeah, so don't go having that test up your nose or anything else like that. Clear your sinuses and your brain can work real well.
Everything they give us and we the oxygen, the water, what we get to eat, they calcified our pineal glands, and that's a big thing right now, to try to activate and open it up and get all that calcium off of it. It's like the smallest gland in your brain.
Yeah, probably do some fighting with some Celtic sea salt
I got a hold of this doctor. I got a hold of this Dr. Sebi's website, and so I sent him an email. I haven't checked to see if I've heard from them back, but I was questioning some of the things they have for I was looking into things for neuropathy, and I was looking for things in the urine tract, and they've got some shit. So I'll probably try to make an order. But I haven't checked my emails. I've been offline. But that'd be bitching. I believe Dr. Sebi believed things we got to eat are more alkaline, is what they teach. And it clears a lot of stuff up. They give everything we eat is opposite of alkaline. It's acidic. And that's what messes us up. That's just a thought that I've read about. Where you guys take it from there, forget about it. I don't know. Boo's snoring again. So I got her to snore.
Snore? Okay. I mean, I got content. I got places where we can go. I got things that we can discuss. I was just letting the round table kind of organically maybe accelerate. But did we lose a couple people? We got Hijacker still with us. We got Harry. We got Jared Bear, Two Feathers. Sergeant Miller's got a link. Deacon John, he's still with us out there in the mist.
Pac's here.
Pac is here as well. I am. Always good to have a biological female in the room. We're blessed. They're under attack. So, you know, every day.
You guys want to hear a real story? So I'm going down to get my CAT scan right in the hospital here.
What, just recently?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, recently.
Yesterday. Yeah. And I'm getting a CAT scan for a chemical stress test, which, by the way, came back. I have no blockages whatsoever in my arteries. I couldn't believe it. But I look down, and I'm twilight because they give me stuff. A doctor standing there. And I see a hand come down to stick a thing down in my groin for the test, and it has black. It's a male hand with black fingernail polish on it. I shit you not, and I look up, and guess what the nurse is? The trans nurse.
Transgender black male.
And I almost reached up and grabbed the son of a bitch by the throat, seriously, but the doctor was standing right next to the trans nurse, so I didn't do it, I swear to God. I was half out, and I thought it was serious. I'm not joking, man. And I was like, oh, my God, wait till I tell these guys this story. It's true.
Drugs or no drugs? There's not enough drugs to stop me from flipping out.
Deacon, did he look? Did he look feminine? Did that dude look feminine, Deacon?
He was from Nashville. Yeah, he's feminine. He had black like fingernail polish and was dressed like a woman, man, but he was a man. And I'm like, if the doctor weren't standing right there next to him, I would
have. Did you have any words to say?
I just didn't say anything. I couldn't believe it. I was speechless. Well, seriously. I want
to bring his neck.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I guess it's kind of a I had to be there type of situation, man.
Well, they would have kicked me out of the hospital and arrested me and stuff. I would have hit him. So, you know, I couldn't.
Yeah, oh, I'm not suggesting any tone of violence. Not by any means. Listen, those battles, that kind of thing can be won immediately. I didn't consent to this. Can you please have another staff member in his place?
And then they put these pads on, these EKG pads on your chest. Well, I found a little sticker that was taken off down by my scrotum. And that's not where it was supposed to be. And I don't know who put it down there when I woke up.
There was just
serious. I'm not joking. I'm serious, man. It's supposed to be on your chest for an EKG, but there was one down by my, you know what's this.
What the fuck?
And this is Columbus, Ohio, man. I'm like, what's going on here? You know, and here's the thing. Had I said something about that, they would have had a psychiatrist come in and give me a
psych. Oh, man, I can only imagine.
Because I'm there's something wrong with me because I'm not accepting it.
Well, first thing, your first mistake, and I don't believe I'm about to say this, but it is what I do. You're white.
I know.
Sorry.
Was this at your doctor's office or at the hospital?
The hospital. And for the testing, the MRI and CAT machine people.
I can't believe it.
Well, I know it's true because I was only like a little high before I went to sleep and I saw him and he was working with the doctor. When I woke up, I saw the fingernails again when they pulled all the things off my chest. The nurse did it.
You know what, dude? That tranny left you a little gift just to F with your head. Nothing happened. There's too many people.
My God.
But that tranny said, oh, I know this little white boy don't like me at all. I'm just going to leave this right here.
Deacon, let me ask you this. It doesn't
grow. It shrinks on that stuff. So I'm shrinking.
Deacon,
on that shit.
I'd like to ask you something. When you realize it was did he notice that you noticed it or once you caught act of him, your expression probably, his emotional space probably showed him, well, this guy knows I'm gay or I'm who I am,
right? Yeah,
I just well,
they shouldn't have people.
Well, no, Deacon, you were like probably in a mask, weren't you?
No, didn't wear a mask. Nope.
You didn't have to wear a mask.
Nope.
No shit.
No mask, no COVID shot. I said, nope, 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 nope.
Did I tell you a little story about
money? They want that money. Go ahead.
Go ahead, Harry.
Did I tell you about the story that I met that petite woman? She says, she was talking to me, she goes, you know, I sometimes feel half binary and sometimes feel like a woman, you know. And so she goes, I really like to be addressed as a little she-it. That's it. It's a joke. It's a bad joke.
I thought you were going to tell a story, Harry. I really did.
Yeah, it's a terrible joke. She's a little shit. You know, she's half and half. That makes it LGBTQI plus divided.
I mean, you know what the lunacy is that they have a new flag out, right? They have a new flag.
Did they?
The LGBT community has a new flag that they have merged together the Palestinian flag with the LGBTQ flag. Now, when I was a young man, I remember distinctly hearing stories in my 17, 18, maybe mid-20s. Again, I heard it in my mid-20s and then again in my 40s where they were throwing faggots off rooftops in Palestine. Like, you come out as a homosexual, you touched another man, you tried to kiss another man, you showed any inclination of being a homosexual because, again, per the Quran, homosexuality is an unforgivable sin. Okay? So they kill you for being gay in Palestine.
Still today, I don't think so, right?
And you are still, your culture, your faggot ass, is still not acceptable in Palestine.
Well, you better really be in a closet.
Some, Jared Bear, let me get it out at least, brother. Come on, bro. So, your NPC ass can sit there and just stare at the next shiny thing. Because that's what's happening right now. This land grab taking place in Israel has you convinced that some Zionist country is under attack by this feeble little nation. Okay? And then at the same time, a bunch of little kids inside of that feeble little nation are being spoon-fed hate from day one. They come out. When they can start to talk and understand language, they're taught to hate Jews and Christians. Okay? Understand, that is the reality, that is the nature of things. And, you know, last week, I was probably a little bit more sympathetic than I am right now. I was probably a little bit more concerned, well, honestly, about both sides than I am right now. Because right now, I know that there's a lot of innocent people dying. And I'm not going to choose one side over the other because I know the politic is controlled by one entity. Israel, Palestine, they both got a boss. And my money is the same dude or organization. Same guy. Same group of people calling the shots. U.S. is sending money to Palestine. They got senators with Palestinian flags outside of their office doors. They're threatening to bring in millions of more Palestinians into America. It's the perfect solution. America's going to look like the sweetheart deal. They're going to Palestine. They're going to go to the U.N. and they're going to say, we have a deal. I'm going to make you a deal. You can refuse. Okay.
Hey, listen to this, right? In the propaganda, or in the brochures on Islam, they say in there that when the astronauts, if you believe it, went to the moon, they took sound recordings, and they analyzed the sound recordings when they got back, and they heard this noise, this drone, and they couldn't figure out what it was. And they finally figured out what it was. It was everyone praying, you know, towards Mecca or at Mecca in Ramadan, whatever it was, and just praying. That was recorded on the moon recordings because they're saying that the word of God travels forever, you know. And but it's true. Sound does travel forever. And we just don't comprehend that because it's the vibration that goes out, you know.
It's not even about comprehending. It's about registering it. Because I think if we had the chance to actually hear it, if our brains weren't so clouded and colluded, we could actually enjoy the frequency we all possess. In fact, there's a frequency that emanates in crowds. When you have sound, you want to talk about sound, this is great. You go to a concert, and the reason they have concerts, the reason they put together music, the reason there is music is that when you have mass participation at a music festival, on the surface, all you see is, okay, you have a bunch of humans, and there's a couple of dudes on stage playing music, and people are getting all drunk and faded, and they're rocking out or whatever. No. Below the surface, what's happening is energy is being created at that very moment. They start playing music, and when you have everybody in the audience on the same vibe, you have an incredible, even in metal shows, which I've been to hundreds, literally hundreds of metal shows, not lying. Even at a metal show, there's a particular frequency, but there's a divine difference. I've been to a deicide show in a max capacity room of, say, 350 people. Deicide, lead singer named Glenn. His name is Glenn. Damn, why don't I know his last name? Anyways, this dude, upside down crucifix between his eyes on his forehead. Albums he's written are, I mean, the music is so talented. The music. It's like he made a deal with the devil. He wrote the type of music that takes sheer raw talent. Okay. Deacon could appreciate that statement. But the lyrics, the culture was all satanic. So the vibe in the audience was very hostile, violent, stabbings at some of these concerts I've been to, people being ran over in the parking lot, a whole different vibe. Okay? So then I go to a different type of genre, like a reggae show. Because remember, I love both of these genres. But I'm not a Satanist. I go to the metal shows because I like the instrumentation. I'm not into the praise Satan. Because when I go to like a Pantera metal show, that's not what it's about. Pantera is just a bunch of guys playing music that like to party. Black Tooth. Is that right? So, Dimebag Darrell, rest in peace. So this frequency, it differs. And it's relative to sound. And if you're open to these types of frequencies and you can really get your mind and your consciousness involved in these frequencies at a reggae show, man, I'm telling you, you get down to some real roots, Rastafari, it is the type of delivery, the type of frequency that really does open your mind. I mean, even in metal, you have songs like Sweetleaf, Black Sabbath. That song is about the ability of cannabis has to introduce you to your mind. It's not a cannabis commercial right now. But again, frequency plays a role in that cannabis. Well, that's a whole different conversation, but it does add to the frequencies. Natural endocannabinoids found in your body. You guys can jump in anytime in this conversation. These are real life DNA connectors found in endocannabinoids, nervous system in your body, has a pattern which allows the transfer of medicinal properties naturally found in hemp, in marijuana, the sister of marijuana, actually, the THC. You have THC, then you have CBD. Then you have CGB, CGC. You have a components list that goes almost 100 long of additional chemicals found in the non-hallucinogenic side of cannabis. And here's the relative to where we are now. Check this out. In two recent studies, they have found that cannabis plays a role in jacketing those threatened by COVID-19. Yeah. Yeah. So if you're a habitual marijuana user, you are less likely to get COVID-19, according to these two stories, peer reviews. Pretty interesting. So back to sounds. I'm at a Jamaica concert down in San Diego on the beach in OB, Ocean Beach, California, back in like 19, I'm going to say, 99, we'll go with 99, 98. I went to
I lived down there in 73 and 74.
OB. It's a nice place, right?
Oh, it's
a nice
place.
Yeah. So right there, Crystal Pier, and, you know, you got Newport Pier, Newport Avenue, downtown Ocean Beach, Point Loma, Nazarene University is right there, kind of the collision center on the tip of San Diego.
And the sports arena wasn't too far from it.
No, nah, sports arena right down the way. Yeah, the Ducks and whatnot. So I'm at the show in my 20s. And we're vibing. And it's all kinds of diversity. So there's no issues. But it really is in stark contrast to the narrative. And the narrative is that we're supposed to hate each other. We're supposed to, and you can tell through sound and frequencies and in music that's a false conundrum. That's a false narrative, because when people can be brought together so easily through music, and we've seen it throughout time, what music does. Woodstock, forget about it. Forget about it. Ozfest, forget about it. We're talking billions of people have gone to concerts throughout their lifetimes with nothing ever happening. They cancel bands that are too influential. They cancel bands that do too good. There's also Jerry Bear, what do you got? Because I got a lot to go on this.
I just watched the concert at Altman Speedway, where the Stones and the Bikers and all that. It was 1969. That was the end right after, it was in December right after Woodstock in 69. And it just, that really tore it up. Go ahead.
Yeah, right? Right? So they in addition to mud floods, how they hide previous civilizations, they also hide the true benefits of music, and they don't actually go to enhance our existence with music. They don't, even though they know that the tech is there. They refuse to broaden our horizons in a sense. So what they do though is they will manufacture bands. They will do total, we will see down the road completely manufactured rock bands, where all the proceeds of the rock band goes to like two guys sitting in a living room, and they never go on tour, but people buy their albums. It's two guys doing artificial intelligence to create a band. I'm sure that this is already happening. ChatGPT, please combine the following drummer, guitarist, and musical genre to these individuals. And you just throw in like the greats, throw in Jimmy Page, Robert Plant, throw in Bonham, right? These guys all from Led Zeppelin, and you mix them, because Led Zeppelin is black magic, by the way. Jimmy Page, Robert Plant, all them fools up into black magic like you wouldn't believe it.
Page used to live at Aleister Crowley's pad.
Wouldn't surprise me for a second. So,
and that's where John Bonham
But you throw in Janis Joplin, you throw in the Doors, you throw in, you know, all these other musical genres, these musical band, these bands that they didn't let continue. These bands they destroyed. These bands were created for a reason. I can prove it. I can prove it. I'll give you guys the mic in a second. Jim Morrison, his father. So Jim Morrison was manufactured. The Doors manufactured that whole experience with the Doors manufactured. Died at 27 in the 27 Club. The son, did he really die? The son of a naval admiral who happened to be on a ship connected to Vietnam. Okay?
Fact. Yeah, he was in the what they call that
Battle of the Somme.
Was in Vietnam when that started, the war.
Battle of the Somme.
Yeah, there you go. I'm sorry.
There you go. All right. So, having said that, Milli Vanilli was a test on our intelligence, and they went almost platinum before America discovered that they were bullshit. They were lies. They were lies. Right? And then we discovered how music like Britney Spears and Hollywood is totally convoluted. They hijacked that broad. They used and abused that broad for everything they could get out of her. And now she's a complete shit show. She's a total
production. Yep.
Okay.
She was originally a Disney girl.
MK Ultra. What, Gerber? Gerber, what you got?
Britney was originally one of the Disney girls, Mickey Mouse Club, back in earlier days.
Yes, sir. And what is Disney known for? They like to put cock and balls in their animation. They like to turn caves into vaginas on Alice in Wonderland.
I think you'll find every country or every westernized country who had that sort of Top of the Pops and all that sort of stuff and the kids' music shows and the kids' shows.
Yep.
Is you're going to find that that's a whole network, and that the children eventually realize that to be part of that, they have to do those things. Not saying all of them were affected, but generally, we had a Young Talent Time show, Johnny, what's his name? Do you remember his name, Pac? Johnny Young. Yeah, he's up for the same sort of things. Rolf Harris. You know, Timey Kangaroo Down Sport and two little boys had two little toys. Each had a wooden horse, you know. Gaily they played One Summer's Day, you know. So, you know, all this sort of stuff, it's everywhere.
Yeah,
it's
it is.
It's absolutely permeated every culture. And not just Western cultures, but other cultures as well.
Daryl Summers was worse in Australia. Daryl Summers. A lot of people didn't realise that, but I knew that when I was probably about 16.
My niece was Jimmy Savile, all over the world, right?
Burt Newton, Don Lane. You know, the list goes on and on and on and on.
These people were blackmailers to politicians. Go ahead, Pat.
Exactly. But when you were talking before about these bands like the Doors. You know, the Stones were also, same with the Beatles. These were all fabricated.
How can those guys complete all those songs, while touring and then come out with an album straight away?
Exactly.
I don't think half those people died when they said they died. I think Jim Joyce is absolutely Elvis Presley. I'm convinced of it. Honestly, I think that Jimi Hendrix is Morgan Freeman. I mean, if you just layer the faces, the nose is identical, the teeth are identical, the lips are identical. Morgan Freeman.
You're really weird.
Jimi Hendrix is Morgan Freeman.
Okay? And Jimi Hendrix is manufactured. Jimi Hendrix was manufactured, I'm telling you. He was designed by Hollywood, the record makers, and they put this guy to task.
He was taken to the UK. Left-handed,
upside-down, black-playing guitar player? Come on.
I met a guy at an open mic jam sort of thing in Victoria at a place called Flowerdale, and he's like a country pub, basically, in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah.
And And he Mo, his name was. He was a sax player in the 60s in session studios in London. And he told me about Jimi Hendrix, and he met him and stuff, you know. Yeah. And so, but you know, he was brought over there simply because to be part of the whole unit, basically.
Yeah. He was probably given the life. He was in the 27 Club, and then he said, "Look, you needed your script. Just look. Come on. They give scripts to NFL players. Why wouldn't they give a script to a musician? Okay, you're gonna write three
what
albums.
About the guy that was what? From the guy that was from 1929 that went out in the Crossroads. He was 27 too.
Robert Johnson.
Yes, sir.
Okay. He went to the Crossroads. They made a movie about the guy starring Ralph Mariaccio or I don't know, something like the Karate Kid.
Yeah. Anyways. And if you read the book Strange Happenings in Laurel Canyon, whatever it's called, it talks about the Air Force base at the end of Laurel Canyon, and it's, you know, it's Alice Cooper and the whole mob of them. Where Mummers and the Puppers, the Eagles, everyone was involved, you know. Even Joni Mitchell's hung out there for a while. But I think Joni Mitchell's...
Charles Manson.
Yeah.
Manufactured.
Yes.
They all had...
Charles Manson was hanging out with the Folger. What was her name? The Folger. They knew each other in Haight-Ashbury before all that. And I don't think that lady died. That actress died. They just moved her somewhere. John Washington Jr.
Yeah.
Are you talking about Sharon Tate?
She's still not. She's old now, but.
They're actresses.
That was all made up drama.
Yeah, there were actresses. I found out most recently there's it's a very, very damning video circling around social media right now. Your best place to find this video is Twitter or Rumble. Rumble, by the way, is just dominating right now. Holy hell. Twitter has a video out right now because I saw it on Twitter first. So Will Smith, there is some homosexual doing an interview with a newscaster. I can't recall the broadcaster, but this dude goes into disgusting detail on his affair with who he likes to refer to as Little Dink having Will Smith. He makes fun of Will Smith in ways that it would be like locker room talk. Calls him out on the side of his penis and says that he has a marriage arrangement for his Hollywood career. Yeah, something like this happened where that dude got turned out. And he's a homosexual. And now there's guys coming out kind of confirming this type of thing. Now, I'm not shocked by it. Also, the whole slap was fake as well. The whole thing was generated. There was an actual similar event that took place. I believe it was in the 60s or 70s. Might have been the Rat Pack or something like that. And he basically copied an old script. The whole thing was fabricated. All of it fabricated. So you're sitting in your high school classroom and you open that history book. You turn to page 68 or 67 or 33. All right. And you could just assume that you're reading a pile of shit. You could just assume that the ink and the paper that you're reading from are no more valuable than that toilet paper you used to clean yourself not too long ago. You can assume that now. All over the West. Every nation in the West, I believe, totally hijacked the military to an extent. A good number of the politicians. And you can start to recognize who the politicians are that haven't been hijacked. You know who they are because they don't bend the line. You can tell by how consistent they are. Okay. I'm not going to call out these names because I can't think of any. But you'll know by that kind of pattern. And I don't pay attention to these politicians that much to have that figured out, you guys. All right. So it's going to be about discernment. This is going to be about having the ability to, you know, really dissect fiction from reality, man. It all comes back around again. It does. Tell me, one of my favorite bands growing up as a kid, the Beastie Boys, they released their first album in 1981. Straight out of Queens, New York, the Beastie Boys. Were they manufactured? Tell me.
There was a show this guy, I played on my show, that he says that in L.A. had them, that these guys, like, I think Glenn Campbell was one of these guys. The guy from the lead guitar player from Led Zeppelin. These guys were all professional musicians that would jam together, and they created a lot of the Beatles songs, because there's no way they could have wrote all that song on tour. And it makes sense that they're a special group. Like Jimmy Page was in the one that's in, it was in England. And I know that they said Glenn Campbell was the one that was in LA. You guys think that's true?
No.
Because I dispute that as well.
Let me tell you what they do is they take, when they're touring, they get together on their downtime in their hotel rooms, and they'll sit and write songs with acoustic guitars and lyrics, and the drummer will bring his sticks in and stuff. And, you know, the main songwriter, yeah, true, Jimmy Page was a studio musician, and he really was in charge of Led Zeppelin and really created all that stuff.
He was the talent. Yeah,
he bought Aleister Crowley's house. Jimmy Page was in the Sunshine Club or some Sunrise Club or some weird shit over in England and London and shit, some satanic shit when he started Zeppelin. So that is true. Yeah. But as far as who's the other band, Jerry Barrett, you said don't write their songs? The Beatles? Lennon McCartney wrote all those songs. They'd write them on acoustics, and then they'd bring them into the studio, and George Martin would add all those arrangements with strings and stuff. But they wrote all those songs, the basic songs, the chord structures and the lyrics and stuff. And then they would have George Martin come in and bring strings and an orchestra and, you know, electronic instruments and add stuff. But they wrote all the songs, Lennon and McCartney.
Yeah. But they replaced,
I'm on the fence. I'm on the fence with that.
They replaced McCartney. True or false?
Yeah, he was replaced. They sacrificed him. They also sacrificed Mick Jones from the Rolling Stones. They killed them both. Mick Jones. Okay. Mick Jones. He drowned.
You're saying that Mick Jagger or
no,
Mick Jones?
Mick Jones. He's the one that
drowned. And I put in King
you
Richard
yell at me him. Again, I'm going to come kick your front door in.
You get me. Talk. Right. I need you here sometime. You always...
Hey, it's Brian Jones. And Brian Jones was the second guitar
player. Brian Jones, I'm sorry.
And he had a drug problem that was so bad he couldn't perform on stage anymore, so they fired him. They brought in Ron Wood to take his place.
They did bring
him
in.
And after that, they found him floating face up in the swimming pool.
Yeah, and then you got all the small airplanes.
Sorry.
Yeah, you got all the small airplane accidents of... Oh, who's the one that wrote that song? Oh, I know you know it, Deacon. Stonebird.
Don McLean.
The Stonebird group.
John Denver died in a light airplane crash. Rocky Mountain.
Yeah. On a perfect.
Yeah, Freebird.
Right? Rocky Mountain.
Oh, he
dies in Colorado when the Rocky Mountains get a break.
No, he died off of Monterey, where the Monterey... California, he was flying that plane during the Monterey Golf Festival that's big time there.
Yeah. Well, you know, I was at a flea market. I think it was like Boston, maybe Jim. Louisiana. And
Leonard Skinner.
Yeah, Leonard Skinner, right. But I was at this flea market and, you know, I was selling my stuff or whatever. And these people come up and I noticed right away that it almost looks like I'm at a political convention. They got like buttons with John Denver, and they got like, you know, a hat that, that John Denver wore, and the way he would dress in like the leather with the fringes or whatever, you know, John Denver. And they said, do you have anything with John Denver? And I says, I don't think so. I don't think I did. And then I said, what's the thing about John Denver? He says, well, John Denver is almost a religion. Have you ever listened to his songs? His songs are not like the rest of the world. And I mean, these people were like, I mean, they were serious. It was like John Denver was like a god to them. And anyways, I started talking to him about.
Well, he was a folk. That was folk music, right? John Denver.
Well, it was that. I do believe he was like one of the best of the Goyen that they had to kill, but he was able to bring. He was able to bring people up higher. In other words, if you actually listen to his songs, he brings, you know, Country Boy Eating Vittles, and Life Is Good. I can't say.
Yeah. Right. I mean, so there's probably four John Denvers then. Glenn Campbell, Arlo Guthrie, Woody Guthrie, John Denver.
Campbell was a hell of a guitar player.
Oh, yeah.
Glenn Campbell was a top-notch, top 10% guitar player. I mean, he just jammed. But he was a country guy. I'll tell you who you want to look at if you want to look at Satanic single plane crashes. Randy Rhoads, that played with Ozzy Osbourne, they hit the tour bus with the plane. That was satanic right there.
Yeah.
What about John Bonham?
He died in his own puke. They said
he drank vomit. However, they were rehearsing for the latest tour, Into the Outdoor, at Jimmy Page's house, which used to be Aleister Crowley's, which he bought off of Crowley.
Okay.
What's this about a plane hitting the tour bus? What did you say?
I don't know, but you're talking about the Randy, what was his name? Randy what?
Randy Rhoads was the original guitar player for Ozzy Osbourne.
He was getting ready to go play with Ozzy, but he never did. He was from another band. Tour. He could kick ass, man. Randy Rhoads and Eddie Van Halen were closely in competition together, but then he got killed. Over.
Yeah, Randy Rhoads started Quiet Riot. He left Quiet Riot for Ozzy, and they did two albums, you know, Crazy Train and all that stuff.
Yeah, I told you.
He died on that plane crash that they buzzed the tour.
On the Crazy Train tour, right?
Yes.
So you're saying a tour bus got hit by a plane.
Right.
What happened was the guy that was driving there, they had a big bus, right? A big, you know, travel bus and stuff.
Tour
and the
bus.
Guy that was driving that, their roadie, was all coked up, and they stopped about 40 miles from the next gig in Florida, and he somehow got a plane that was over there that had a key in it and took the plane up one ride with a bunch of people from the bus roadies, and then was going to took a second round, and Randy Rhoads was on it, and he dived right onto the bus, apparently, and Rudy Sarzo, the bass player, when he was interviewed by the police, said that he looked outside and he saw that apparently Randy Rhoads was trying to take the stick away from the guy because he was trying to stop him from crashing right into the bus. They were fighting in the cockpit.
No shit. Wow.
What band was he from? Quiet Riot?
He started Quiet Riot and left Quiet Riot to play with Ozzy.
Okay, copy.
Okay, so these things are, there's such a pattern of these types of incidences happening with these big bands or these big up-and-coming bands. Let's take Pantera. They toured for like 10, 15 years. They broke up, swore never to get back together again. They went out and created new bands. Phil Anselmo created a band called Damn. Immediately following Pantera. Actually, no. Sudden Ritual Kill Trend was his band following Pantera. And then he created Damn. So there's that. Damn got really big and successful. I think they had like three or four albums. But let's stick to the timeline. At the same time, the other band members are touring. the two brothers. You got Dimebag Darrell on guitar. You got Rex on bass. And then you have the drummer was Vinnie Paul. He was Dimebag's brother. Now, they're on tour with a band called Damage Plan. Damage Plan in Southern Ohio at a little bar in Ohio. A dude out of nowhere, most likely MK Ultra victim, gets up on stage with a loaded revolver and points it at Vinnie Paul, the drummer, points it back at Dimebag Darrell and says, this is during a live set, okay? And he says, you broke up Pantera. And he looks back at the drummer, Vinnie Paul, and he shoots him twice. And then he goes to shoot the bassist. The bassist gets hurt. Everybody's off stage by this point. There's a cop in the audience who's carrying. He takes the bad guy out.
Yeah, that's a shocker. Yeah.
That happened. Yeah. So 3 days later,
I'm at
Deacon, what do you got?
I can say that happened here in Columbus, Ohio at the El Rosa Villa. And actually, the singer in my last band was a roadie for El Rosa, and he pretty much told me the story. He confirms everything you're saying here. He was right there when it happened.
Yeah. Oh, I know. So 3 days after this happened, I had left Cleveland. I had left Cleveland maybe 3 years prior to this incident. But 3 days after this incident, I was driving a limousine in San Diego, California. I was at the airport 3 days after this happened. I was at the airport to pick up Dave Mustaine, the lead singer of Megadeth, formerly co-founder of Metallica. Okay? So he gets in the car. Little town car. I pick him up from the airport, and he's not a happy dude. He's not looking to talk. He's not looking to chat. I've met him once before. He didn't remember me, whatever. He had a house over in San Diego. I'm not going to tell you where, but he's got a house in San Diego. And he gets on the phone, and he tells me before he gets on the phone that he's going to do a radio interview on the phone. So it's a Cleveland rock station. I can't remember the name of the rock station back in 1993. It's a rock station in Cleveland.
WMMS.
So, probably. They were a metal station. Cleveland, the hardest rock and roll in America, is in Cleveland, Ohio, by the way. Anyways.
What this, year was that?
1992, 1993, 94, something like this. So, anyways, fast forwarding to this this incident, Dave Mustaine's in the car. He's doing this radio interview, and you know, you don't get this experience to be a fly on the wall. There's no shield. I can't shut the shield in the car. It's just, you know, it's a town car. It's him and I, and I got the radio off, and he's just on the phone having a conversation. And man, this man, Dave Mustaine, was devastated. Devastated. You know, the metal world is really tight. And these things happen in the metal world, but they happen way too frequently, which makes you think about the sacrifices. They might be real. These sacrifices be real. Cliff Burton, possibly the greatest bassist in metal history. That guy, insane what he could do on stage with a bass guitar. Okay? He was the original bassist for Metallica. They're on tour. It's the Master of Puppets tour, I believe. Tour bus in an accident goes on its side, and Burton goes out the window and is crushed by the tour bus. 1 hour before this, the guitarist, Hammond, Kurt Hammond, he's the guitarist, co-founder of Metallica, is in the seat where Cliff Burton is. So Cliff Burton walks up to that seat and says, you know, I slept there last night or something like this. There's like the story goes, something to do with I'll trade you spots. And Kurt, you know, fought him on it a little bit, and then he finally just said, okay, whatever. So Burton gets in the seat on this tour bus. And they crash, and he dies. And it's they're devastated, but they got to finish the tour. So 6 months later, Jason Newsted, at the time co-founder, lead guitarist, and singer of a band called Flotsam and Jetsam, takes over as bassist for Metallica. And they write 3 albums. And I stopped listening in 1991, right after they wrote Injustice for All. There's the story. They wrote Injustice for All, great album. And then right after that, the Black album came. And that's when I believe that they had a talk with record producers. And they were told, if you want to continue in the record business, this is what you need to produce. So there you go. A little bit of knowledge there for you, huh?
Here, I got a clip for you. And so this clip is of a famous producer, music producer, and he's going to talk about, he's doing an interview.
A sacrifice, you know?
Well, you know, he talked about doing rituals and demonic prayer over the albums. And this comes from.
And before they go on tour. Yes, go ahead.
Yeah, well, let me go ahead and play it.
I'll let you play it. Sure. Okay, go ahead.
It's only a couple minutes. Mm-hmm. And so here it is. You have to figure out what's going on, but it's self-explanatory. Here we go.
Actually, there's a lot more. What's really interesting is this interview here that I saw on Nick Jones' channel. This is of a famous music artist from about 13 years ago. He had some huge hits. Shane Lynch from Boyzone, an Irish band. He's got some, I think they got some songs with like 80, 100 million views on YouTube back in the old days. I mean, now today it doesn't sound like a lot. I mean, well, it is still a lot, but I mean, like you'll get a billion views on some videos these days. But back 13, 14 years ago, YouTube was not as popular as it is today. It didn't have as many people on it. 100 million back then is probably like 500 million today. So it's quite a few views. So he was pretty prominent back then, but he had some really interesting things to say about the music industry, things that we've talked about here on my channel, things that are pretty jaw-dropping. He's just saying it straight face. That's why the interviewer keeps saying, you mean literally? You're not figurative. And like she keeps asking this over and over because it's hard for her to swallow what he's saying just straight faced. Let's play a little bit of this.
Let me ask you a question. Have you ever thought about
hang your on, we got to get past this. Redwood uses just stupid commercial. Completely natural.
This small portion of this interview.
I expected more from a professional broadcaster.
But majority of it there is to take you away from Christ. 100% take you away from Christ.
In terms of the lyrics, and is that what you mean? Or do you mean the industry itself, people, the big players in the industry?
Both, lyrically and both big players. Both. I've been in rooms at the top of the top, which albums are prayed over demonically. Music is prayed over.
He said demonically, folks. So he's talking about satanic type, of course, things. And she goes on to ask, like I said, he's saying this really straight face. Like, he's not like he's serious, obviously. Now, let's see what she has to say.
Demonically. And that goes out to the world, goes out to the radio stations, goes out to the public. And when you see that stuff and know that stuff, it's frightening.
What do you mean by that, Shane, prayed over demonically?
So, rituals, ceremonies, everything to bring.
So, like, literally, he's saying this straight face, folks. He's saying this directly to her.
Playback? It was really bad. Jack.
This guy's got a huge reputation. Jacker. I mean, he's got a huge Jacker. Band.
Hi, Jacker.
Yeah.
Your playback is really bad.
Yeah. Do you not have the original interview instead of somebody else talking about somebody else?
Okay, well, I'll tell you what, Mechanic, maybe you might have it better. And so go to the YouTube channel, God.
Why don't you just give me the link? Put the link in Skype.
Okay.
Yeah, just copy and paste the link in Skype. That would be cool.
And this will go to the 15-minute mark, and it's Sky Brian Jones or Nick Jones. He's a famous black DJ.
So what's the overall point? I mean, I heard that the essential part that I gathered from what we heard so far is that the music industry as a whole, did I hear this right? And confirm this with me, folks. Its goal is to direct people towards Satan?
Yeah. Right. So I'm going to.
That's what I heard, right?
In the chat, in the Skype chat.
I don't need to hear it anymore. Honestly, the video could be probably old. It's got a narrator and this and that, but. I get the point, and I believe it. I 100% believe it. I mean, look at the trade-off. Will Smith goes from the TV industry as a little orphan that gets picked up by a rich family.
Yeah.
Right. And then he becomes this snobbish DJ. And then in real life, he's an MC with a DJ. Yeah. And then he goes and creates this huge movie career. That dude went to one of these bendover parties.
Yeah.
And I don't think I need to be any more explicit than that.
Absolutely. But
this happens in Hollywood. It's confirmable. So you can go do your own research on this, because I'm going to be very vague about it. It's my understanding.
Isn't Ben Dover the cousin of Neil Down?
All of these successful.
Yeah, they're related.
Good number. All related. I don't know if anybody can confirm this or not. I don't even know who's left on the broadcast. I would really love to get Sergeant Miller back on here. I know he's driving, but Sergeant Miller, if you can confirm this.
Yeah.
There's a bit of a butt club for success.
You know what musicians call the recording industry, don't you?
These rich white gays, these rich white homosexuals who love young black men in the record industry. And that's how they get successful. And many of them are turned not only into homosexuals, but they're turned Satan worshipers. And you can see it in their music. You take a look at Beyonce and Jay-Z. Jay-Z, guess what? So Metallica? Metallica has a black album. You know who else has a black album? Jay-Z.
AC/DC.
And AC/DC.
But Jay-Z is in the Fraternal Order of Black Masons.
You know what musicians call the recording industry, don't you?
Apron.
Oh.
You know what musicians call the recording industry?
If you will. A Freemason. Hi, Jacker. What do you say to that?
Well, Deacon was saying something.
Do you know what? And I'll throw it back to you guys. You know what musicians call the recording industry?
Jacker, you're muted.
The Pink Mafia. It's run by fags and Jews.
Yeah.
Seriously.
Music is a trip, and it's been hijacked in Hollywood, and they're going after a narrative. Apparently, they have an agenda, according to that recording. Did we lose them all together? Crossroads, Babylonian contract with the devil. No doubt about it, Casey Sledge. No doubt. We are in hour number 4. Wow. Deacon? We got Deacon. We got Jackers muted. Deacon's muted. Mr. Rowe, I think, is asleep at the wheel. Jerry Bear is still with us.
Hi there.
So Harry, still with us from Australia. And Pac, his neighbor, also in Australia. Always good to have a biological female with us. Hour number 4. It's been a minute since I've done a 4-hour broadcast. All good.
We're almost neighbors now because he's only about 6 hours from me.
Harry, anybody you like. I got an assortment of things to talk about, but I like the music conversation. I think it's very relevant to today's agenda, what we're witnessing right now there. Because if you're satanic, you probably don't give a shit if the world's about to end. You don't care who's from the country. What is the attitude of a satanic? Does anybody know? Have you ever met a Satanist?
Say that again. I didn't hear twice, you.
But there was no in-depth conversation. Anybody on the panel on the High Council know a Satanist in person?
We are the world. We are the children.
I did know one ages ago.
It's a tough crowd, right?
I just put the Plane Hits Ozzy's tour bus video in there for you, Mechanic.
A Mechanic.
I can see you guys trying to talk. Pack woman, I can see you trying to talk, but I can't hear you.
What's going on?
I met a guy from the Lucis Trust.
I can't hear Harry either. Harry's trying to talk. Okay. Listen, I'm just going to hang up. You guys hang tight. Stay on the call. Whoever wants to can talk, and I'll rejoin you guys.
Is that better?
I don't know, because I don't think he could hear me either. And I've been trying to, you know.
I can hear you guys.
Yeah, yeah, okay. I can hear you, Harry. I
can't hear anybody.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I just put that Plane Hits Ozzy's tour bus, Randy Rhoads crash. And if you want to play it,
have a look.
All right, what's going down? Can anybody hear me in chat? Write it in chat. Yeah. You guys can hear me. 5x5.
Hear you, Mechanic.
What chat are you talking about?
Did I lose internet?
Mechanic can't hear us. He can't hear us.
Yeah, he can't hear us. Right.
Well, then he needs to drop
it. I just don't hear anybody on the call.
Does anybody know how to boot him?
Let's go to Matrix.
Hang on a second.
How are we doing, Matrix?
Let me drop him and bring him back.
Still on the call? Can I get a 5x5 Casey Sledge at 1 o'clock in the morning, 12 o'clock in the morning, fucking 3 a.m.?
Yeah, you gotta boot him.
I just booted him.
Right.
All right, I'll bring him back.
See if he can come back. Okay. I could hear him.
Yeah, he couldn't hear us.
Oh, let's see. Oh, hang on. I'll add him again.
That's why he couldn't.
Hang on. I'm trying to. I can't think.
He's coming back.
Mechanic.
That's what you all probably could hear the clip that I was playing, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, he couldn't. That's why. Something was wrong on his end.
I can't find him in my Skype now.
I can go back and replay it if you want.
Try to. Wait.
No, because we're playing
hear
it.
Any of you.
Mr. Rose asleep. Jacker, you don't know how to add it. Oh, he's back. He's back.
He's okay. back in, but he right. can't hear us.
Yeah, he can't I'll hear back. Us.
I can't hear Hijacker either. All right, you guys do what you got to do. Take over the broadcast, Hijacker. Yeah, you got the reins, or Jer-Bear, one of the two. Deacon Don, all you guys are qualified. All right, I'm out. I'll be back. Give me a second.
God bless you.
Yeah. What I wanted to say before was in regards to the music, wasn't it the Beatles who changed the beat of music? Like they dropped the beat instead of having the normal 4-beat or whatever? Didn't they change the music? Because if you actually listen to their music, I think they changed like the way that the music was before, in the way that they used to do the beats.
I love the music.
Yeah. If you actually listen to their music, you will actually feel that their music is in a lower vibration than the music before them.
Only my love.
Oh, that isn't even a Beatles. That's McCartney and Wings. Know your Beatles.
So Harry was going to tell us about he knew a Satanist. Go ahead, Harry.
Yeah, just in the music scene in Melbourne, there was a dude wandering around. I got with his sister one time, but he was just like weird. A girl from one of the bars, she came up to visit me, but she brought him with me, with her. And when he was walking up the stairs to the place I was living in, he was doing all these incantation chants and all this other stuff. And I'm going, yeah, whatever, you know. It was just a weird dude. And, you know, he flashed himself to me one time, you know, and stuff like that. It's just off the charts, you know, strange.
Yeah, they're all sick. They're all evil, yeah. These people. But I think there's been a problem with the music for a long time. But if you listen to all of the stuff now, you know, they all sound the same. You know, they're all on that, you know, they've all got that high, squeaky voice. You can listen to it and you know, they all sound the same. All of those singers, whether male or female, all sound the same. The music is all the same.
If you go back to the root of music, I think it's Azrael ones that gave music to the... I'm trying to find that, actually. I've got a book I can share, actually. It's online. You can get it. From the Ashes of Angels, The Forbidden Legacy of a Fallen Race by Andrew Collins, written in 1957, I think it was. But he actually did the groundwork. He's gone to these places and looked up and studied, like, the noble vulture and you know, the lighted faces of all the stories of the lighted ones, like Noah and Moses went to have enlightened faces and stuff like that, you know, and all that sort of thing. But he goes right into Kazakhstan, and he's found in this book, he's found where on one side of the valley there's people like the jinn people, they're called, with dark hair and, you know, and converse with the jinn and the entities that he talks about in the book. And on the other side, they look like they come from Scandinavia, you know. So you've got the Aryan type of or the Nordic type of people, you know. And it's the blend between the two in the valley. So in Kazakhstan. So when it talks about the history of music, it was given to man by one of the fallen angels, and that's why. And actually, the lead one is not, his name isn't Satan, it's of the fallen ones, it's Shamyasa or something like that, or I'll find it in a minute. But he's been bound for a thousand, or till the golden age comes again before he's released, because he's such a rotten scoundrel, apparently, to the stories, you know?
Yeah, and then you got another story of a father and son team in a small skiff, and they went to the what they would call the hollow earth, the inner earth, right there.
Oh, that's the smoky sun, right. I think it's called. Yeah.
And they spent 2 years, and they allowed them to take as much gold as they want, and then they dropped them off at the Antarctic, in the Antarctic. So how that works, I don't know.
Oh, that's a different one. Yeah.
No, that was... No, the Smoky Guy people, they got dropped off in the Antarctic, and which only, yeah, and their boat was so loaded down with gold that they couldn't take the particular turbulence of icebergs flipping over, whatever. But anyways,
in the Roaring 40s.
Right, so he did say that they spent 2 years in the Hollow Earth. And with these giants, the females were about 12 foot, males were 15 foot, all very proportionate, very good looking. They had incredible technology. He now believes that the ship that when they first picked up this small skiff, and they saw him, then they took him back. He now knows it was electric, that the ship actually electric. And if you actually take a look at a lot of writings, you'll hear about ghost ships, where ships on the open sea, they will actually see a ship. And it's got sails and everything, but they're just so damn fast. And they're basically called ghost ships. But anyways, he said, so they said, these two guys, father and son, says, well, what do you do with all your time? And he goes, we make music. And so they heard some of their music. And the guy says, it was the strangest type of music. It was like a mandolin or like a guitar back then, the 17th century or whatever. It was 100 years just before the electricity came in, because the guy was like 99 years old when he wrote this thing. And electricity just came in and he realized, oh, that's how they were powering the ship. But he talked about the strange music. And so what I'm often wondering, and they said that's what they spent their time doing, making music. And I thought, well, are they making music glorifying God or whatever? What kind of race of giants are these? And then all of a sudden the 60s hit, or it starts off, I guess, in the 50s with the big band. Then it goes into the 60s with the Beatles, and then one genre of music, one right after another. I grew up in the 60s. You know, I was basically a kid, and I just remember every day you just hear a different genre of music, different songs. I mean, it was like absolutely incredible. If anybody doesn't believe me, just take a look at the hits of the 60s.
I love the 60s and the 70s and the 50s and the 40s.
I'm talking about really the 60s is when the rock and roll hit. It's when the Dionne Warwick and the whole the black genre music. And I'm not talking about rap. I'm talking
about Engelbert Humperdinck and stuff like that. Yeah,
Motown.
Yeah, that was before. But so what did they build these songs? Was this music created, and it was actually used as a weapon that in the 60s that once they got the church drunk on money, and then they put a TV in front of them, and then they opened up the doorway to drugs, and then they hit us with the rock and roll, and then we got the free sex. Was that the plan? Because, I mean, I trace the most damage done back to the 60s is the baby boomers. When you see a guy 60 to 80 years old, those are baby boomers, and I'm in that particular category. Those are the guys that really dropped the ball. 1946 to 1964. Those are the baby boomers.
Yeah, this country got queered in the late 60s somehow with some kind of evil eye shit with the Vietnam War, and it's never recovered from that.
Yeah.
When the mechanic was talking about, the heavy rock concerts or metal concerts and stuff and the crazy stuff going down. I've witnessed the actual opposite of that. I mean, I was involved with a Pentecostal Happy Clapper church, and we used to like have hours of playing music in the ethereal tones and ascending tones, believing that the presence of God will manifest, and it actually did, which I can testify to you, brothers and sisters, it actually did. But it was like this atmosphere that was thick with golden sort of sparkles in it. It was really weird, really, different type of thing. But the buzz was just love and just peace and harmony and whatever, because we've been doing it for an hour and a half or whatever, just doing praise. And I can testify to that sort of stuff because I've experienced it, So there is that power that can be used. And it's up to each individual, because we're all resonators. We're all mediums of our own media. We speak our tone, our thoughts, our actions. And,
I think when we actually take a look at mosque and we take a look at some of these churches and the way the frequencies resonate, and the organs that were in them, I'm actually starting to think, especially with the latest with the Tartarian Empire and these old maps and all this old architecture, domes and pillars and spirals all across the whole earth with these humongous buildings, which no horse and buggy people built. I don't believe that. So that's why I'm really studying this preterism, where maybe the 1,000 years of Christ rule was from 550 to 1550. Maybe that's when all these structures were built. Maybe all these mosques were actually houses of worship where people went to get together and sing, and you got the Gregorian chants. In fact, my wife, she's with this Catholic group now that's not directly with, it's like the Mel Gibson type Catholics. It's not directly with the
Catholic
Church. The Mountain type Catholics. Okay.
There's evidence hijacker from all belief systems, like Mithra in, you know, in Zoroastrian or Iranian, you know, Persian stories and stuff, where there are many, many, many ascended masters. And what happens is their cycle is much shorter than what we've just been sold a little program to believe an extension of something that they want to prolong for as long as possible. When really, it's happened so many times, that's the realization I've come to, and when you look at the different entities, at different peoples who are, you know, the ascended masters in each storyline from all around the world, it happens more often than we realize. And the compression is that it can happen in our lifetime. That's the reality of the quantum entanglement of life itself, is that we have all the evidence, we have all the means. Now we just need to put the puzzle together and reestablish it, because the Messianic age is not a messiah. It's a group. It's a collective conscious change to the way that we engage with the natural world and with creation, I should say. It's a way where we harmonize with it. This is why they talk about, you know, 1,000 years of peace, love and harmony or whatever. The harmony is the tools that we have been born to make that harmonic change. And it's an instrument that's invisible. The instruments are invisible. This is the invisible instruments, or made out of, you know, from a nanoforge, nanofoundry, I should say. The thing is, like, all the special scepters or rods or, you know, staffs and hammers and tridents and whatever they had, those gods or leaders, they originally, not now, but originally were built specifically for the intention of the thought vibrational field of the person that was going to use it. So it's a unique, calibration to their consciousness. And they used it in certain acts of things, but like a magic wand, basically. But this is how it's done. That's how they did it. It's through refining the intensities of the frequencies of vibrations that come from thought. And this is what they're doing now. This is what they're doing now with the... But they're using it in the wrong way. That's one aspect of the technology. The other aspect of the technology is actually using it to sing, capture the songs of the praises of the rocks to God, which is the foundation stones that will reestablish this broken thing.
Yeah. Well, I've got a theory on the second coming. And this is along the lines that you're talking about, Harry.
Yeah.
I believe the second coming is not the Messiah, Jesus, coming back. I believe the second coming is us going back to that foundation that we were meant to be, the conscious being. And when that happens, when that vibration comes back and the song of the land comes through all of us, and we unite in spirit and thought and love and harmony and compassion, that's the second coming.
Like New Age agnosticism.
Where we unite against evil, because once we start having, you know, that consciousness, we push evil back.
Yes,
God, don't need somebody to come and save us. We are to save ourselves.
Hey, well, you're a charismatic Catholic, then. Mel Gibson's right. Charismatic Catholics. I know who they are. They speak in tongues. Well, yeah, go ahead.
No, well, Harry's going to say something, and then I wanted to interject. Go ahead, Harry.
Yeah, well, as it says in the Bible, you know, God or the Elohim or whatever you want to call it, did not give us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind.
So even having the sound mind is a resonance of thought patterns that has the stability to have the equilibrium to be stable through all the, you know, the valley of death or through the troubles and turmoils, because there always be wars and rumors of wars until we actually say, okay, enough's enough, let's make the change.
All right, so here's my revelation. Okay, I've been on the battlefield a long time, in my early 60s, and from this point that I've lived, and I have searched the earth for honor, all kinds of different places, and I'm telling you, we are all rotten. We have to have a savior. There is no saving ourselves. There's no uniting. There's none of that. Everybody, if you really think about your life and the life of anybody that you know,
we were born into original sin.
Well, no, I guess so. But what I'm saying is that basically we all do what's in our own self-interest. If you think about it, if it comes down,
really?
I think you're painting
isn't that greed, gluttony, and all of that sort of like evil?
No, I'm saying if it comes down to you doing what is absolutely the right thing, and then you doing. And then the other choice is doing something which is going to benefit you or it's in your self-interest 99 times out of 100. And it's only the people who are the most devout to the Most High through Jesus Christ. Or maybe if you're in Islam and you really know what the right thing to do, but then you actually go against what is against your self-interest. But 99% of the time, people do what's in their own self-interest rather than what they do, what is the right thing. And so that's why I'm saying when I hear ascended masters and collective consciousness, I don't see it.
That's Masonic 33 degree stuff. If you listen to Jeremy over there, remember Jeremy Hijacker on that channel?
Right.
He was 32nd. He said they believe those little minor divinities are here now, giving them advice. The ascended masters.
They are. That's the thing. That's all the hidden stuff. That's all the occult stuff. Is that they already know this. They've already been in operation together for a long, long time. And we're just catching up to it, you know. It's true. This stuff is really going on. We're just we're in this farm that we're born into, whatever you want to call it, you know.
And the salvation is in the cross.
Is in the what?
In the cry.
In the cross, he said.
The cross.
Salvation is in the cross through Jesus Christ, the only Son of God.
Well. That's the thing. We're all sons and daughters of God, of the Most High God. And until you realize that the Christ within you or the light within you needs to reflect or beam out or whatever you want to do with it, the attributes of what the third group of, you know, the Essenes believed in, which was a much more detailed mix of connection with nature and the angelic.
Right, but the problem here is that you take a look at your own life or of somebody else. What is the most selfless thing that you have ever done in your life?
I mean, let my children go.
Okay, yeah, well, at least you went for the big answer, okay? Right. You went for the big answer. But what I'm saying is that if you really think about how people construct their life and how they live it, we basically live a materialistic, a fleshy type of.
That is not everybody. That really is not everybody, Hijacker. Really.
Show me somebody. Show me somebody. That's the problem. I mean, you know, you got the example of Christ who laid his life down. But, like, when I search, like, let's take the 300,000 pastors in America. Well, I'm talking about the Protestant pastors. You got all these babies being murdered, all this abortion. How many of them actually have said, you know what? I'm not putting up with this anymore. I'm going to do something about it. And so how many of them actually have been slapped or punched or protested and forced the government to throw them in a stinking jail cell? None of them. None of them. None of them have any. Look, we're at the.
I can't speak for anybody else. Like, I really can't speak for anybody. I can't make judgment on anybody else's actions. All I know is the information that's inputted into me, I've got to output what I think's the best value that I can share with what
I'm just saying. Show me somebody. Show me a man of honor, Harry. That's what I'm saying.
Look, I'm sure you believe that you're a man of honor as well. So it's a belief in yourself. When you start trying to look for other people, that means it shows a lot of insecurity for a start. You know,
no, when you try to figure out what the hell is going wrong, and then you start to go back into time.
Yeah, but we're not supposed to figure out what went wrong as such, especially with other people. We're supposed to, you know,
how you handle the situation and move forward.
Hands of the creator. We're supposed to let all the troubles go and leave it in his hands and just, you know, live. We're supposed to live without worrying about other people, what they're doing, what they're saying, what they're doing. But anything to do with, like, evil, we're supposed to stand up and stop it. That's our role.
Right, and I'm just saying so few people actually do that. That's what I'm trying to say. It just because it goes against their. It seems like this to me. Everybody seems to find their spot. Like everybody's got a spot. This is my job. This is my career. This is my business. This is my ministry.
We didn't name our dog Spot. We named it Freckles. I didn't mean to interrupt you.
Right, but so if you think. As a Christian does, that Satan is the god of this world and these are his kingdoms. It seems like all of these guys, they find a particular spot within this kingdom, and then they seem to know, based on what they know through secret societies or the Freemasons or whatever, and they go and they basically say, okay, this is what I can do. This is as far as what I can say. Anything that I do above this, my life is going to get trashed up. So therefore, I'm not going to do that. And so they seem to have, everybody finds their spot. They seem to know the rules and they go, okay, I'm not going to go any further. I'm not going to cause any more problems.
But those rules are meant to be broken. All rules are meant to be broken except the ones given to us by the Creator. They're the only rules that we follow, the natural law.
I can give you a perfect example of what you were just describing, right, Hijacker. I'm living in this shed in the bush sort of thing, in a bush block. It's decked out with everything, you know, and insulated. But at the front of the property, there's a house, and there's an old couple that lives there, and she's a practicing justice of the peace, and they're in their 80s, and they run the internet, free internet cafe in town, no cafe actually, but it's an internet thing. And, you know, and the owner of the property who I've rented off houses the internet cafe thing at his closed service station in the town. Now, what's happened is I've been paying a quarter of the bill of the power because there's only one, they're on the name and the power straight run. Power box goes down to the shed as well. And they told me when I moved in, there was no power box separate meter for the shed. So I believe that. And I found out that there isn't now. But what I've also discovered is this, you know, pillars of the community have been ripping me off blind because they've got solar power on their roof. And they're basically getting paid by the power company for the rebate or whatever they get, you know. And all I asked was to get because I started my own business this year, and I just needed receipts and copies of the bills, of the amount I've been paid so far. And they wouldn't give them to me, so I had to write a letter, and it's turned out they wouldn't respond to the letter. I had to go see the landlord. But anyway, what I'm trying to say is I've got a very horrible situation where I feel, you know, I felt livid for a little while there. It's just these, you know, people ripping me off for no fair reason. But I've come up with a solution because I've got the power. I'm in control of the situation. I've got to give them the money. And so what I've did ages ago, actually, months and months ago, was bought this Internet of Things, like a, you know, a sensor you stick on my power box in the unit. So it tells me, feeds me how much I spend every day on power. But the thing I'm trying to say here is that how you deal with the situation is, of course, I was very angry and upset by these, you know, people, but I've chosen to provide a solution and you know, with complete, you know, without prejudice, basically, I'm going to put in the letter, so that they know that I'm not have any animosity towards them, and I've fixed the solution, and I've dealt with these, you know, rascals, that hillbillies that have been ripping me off. Because what I'm going to do is I'm going to backdate, now that they've agreed through the landlord to go on how much usage I'm actually running off the power, rather than charge me a quarter of what they've been using. I can backdate it to the date I moved in because I've got this sensor thing. I can work it out. Going on a mean average and stuff of data collected already. So, you know, it's a really simple solution, but of course I got a little upset about it, and I suppose that's being a bit ratty and sort of coming, you know, getting the skin of the world on me and getting cranky about it. But it's good to get angry too sometimes. You're just not to sin about it and to work out a way forward for everyone. But they know that they've done wrong, and, you know, they've got to live with that. So, well, they probably care. But anyway. So that's what I'm trying to say, you know, is it's your metal, it's your conduct on how you deal with situations in life, you know, that makes you valiant or whatever, you know.
Right, yeah. And so it looks like we got a call. 201, I just called in. Is that Dan the man?
That's me, my man. How are you?
Well, pretty good. How are you doing?
Oh, between the stink and the shit. Oh, how's my boy, Sean David Martin, doing?
I don't know. Does anybody know?
I could say something about him. He just messaged in. Excuse me. He just messaged in Facebook that he had a nice birthday, and that he's really, no, it was his wife's birthday, Melissa. Pardon me?
Melissa.
All right. Melissa.
My name is Melissa.
I'm just trying to tell you that he mentioned that he still loves her and he's still alive because of her. And so he just mentioned that. So I guess he's feeling better.
Yeah, is mechanic there?
No, he's sort of had a bit of a.
He hit the road.
Yeah, the mechanic dropped out. He was having some kind of internet issue where we could hear him, but he couldn't hear us, and he finally dropped out.
How about the sergeant?
Who?
Sergeant Miller.
Sergeant.
He was here a while ago, and then he dropped out. I don't know if he's driving truck right now or not. Two Feathers is here, and the Cork Pack is here, and Mr. Rose.
How about Deacon? Oh, Mr. Rose, good man.
Yeah, Deacon was here, and Deacon dropped out. Well, you're sounding better. You sound like you got over your stroke.
No, not really. That's the least of my problems. Families all broke up. You know, There's Ozzy's big riot going on in Washington, D.C. tonight. I give it about 6 months. We'll all be killing each other. So I just wanted to say hello to my real patriotic friends. And, well, report yourself. You let them all get away with 70% of congressmen and senators all being paid off. So Jefferson wanted 8 years time, and that was it. They told him to shut up and write. So, but I just wanted to drop in and say hello to all of my friends and tell you that do the best we can. If I really wanted to talk, I'd have the federalities by the door banging on it. What we should do, you know. But I can't do that. There's no more freedom of speech.
No.
There's no more America. There's no more America. It's done. Finished. So, I got my family.
What did you think about GP?
I wanted to mention something.
Saying the man?
Yeah.
What did you think about GP coming to America?
Say it again.
What did you think about Xi Jinping, the Chinese president,
coming to San Francisco?
It's all theater. It's all theater.
Good call, Dan. You know, Dan, getting up in my age, I'm 67. I know you're an older man, too. I'm going to say, you know.
81.
May I say something, please? Us getting up in our age, I wanted to say, you know, I might just feel better passing on than putting up with all the bullshit we going through. Over.
I pray every night I don't get up in the morning and I'm with my mother in heaven. I pray every night. But well, God don't like me. He likes to see me squirm. My children all wish each other deaths. You know, I mean, I gotta watch my grandchildren suffer. And, you know, this country's gone. Finished. A long time ago. Hey, did you ever hear of Behold the Pale Horse?
You think yep. I didn't?
Behold a Pale Horse, yep.
Behold the Pale Horse of Cooper. They shot him. I saw the video of the driver turning around and blowing Kennedy's brains out.
And yeah, those seven sheriff's deputies surrounded him, and he jammed his truck to his pad, and then he got on his porch and tried to take him out, and they took him out.
Hey, has everybody seen that movie?
Do you believe that? He was assassinated.
He I
was
know that.
Hey, has everybody seen that movie? Has everybody seen that movie, The Campaign? The Campaign? Have you seen that movie, The Campaign? It's about Dan Aykroyd and that guy, Zach someone, whatever his name is.
Jim Belushi? No, Zach.
It's about a guy, a really sort of funny guy, going as a campaign for, you know, for the state sort of thing he was in. And but the storyline is the baddies, so to speak, were doing deals with China, you know, and them setting up factories in America and stuff like that. And really, if you look at the parody of it all, and that's what Xi Jinping is, I think, is here for, is to check his investments, you know, obviously, you know, because we're the same with Australia. We've all been sold out too, you know. It's just a sleeping.
Will Ferrell in that movie.
Let me tell you something. When I was 14, 15 years old, I was told that China would rule the world. So I was a victim of MK Ultra by the Jesuits out of Fordham University at 14 years old. Of course, it's a long story, but my cousin had an IQ of 120. He was about 15 years older than me. And he hated me. Hated me because back in the day, 80 years ago, if you carried the family name, you were an Italian. So now I'm an Italian American. If you carried the family name, you were a king. So my aunt so treated me like a king, and my one aunt, and he hated me. So I'm sitting in the eighth grade, and girl comes in, hands the teacher a note, and it says to me, Danny, you go down to the principal's office. And I didn't do nothing. So I went down to the principal's office. He says, you'll be in number 5 school tonight at 7 o'clock. I said, why? He said, shut up and be there. I went there. The last thing I remember was walking down the stairs to the gym. And when I came out, I was wobbly legged and walking the wrong direction. So I've been a victim all my life. So my cousin, who had an 180 degree, the evil Jesuits grabbed him literally in a heartbeat. His family didn't have 2 pennies to rub together. They gave him a full ride at Fordham and 2 years of parapsychology. And all he did all his life was sit in a chair with a legal pad and ride and ride and ride and smoke 4 packs of parliaments a day, and then at night get stonewalled drunk. And that was his life. So and he wound up like 50 years old. And they say he killed himself. I don't believe it. He's still working for the government. You know, the people, they're gone. They're gone. I can't wait till a couple of months, maybe even sooner. Everybody's shooting each other. I can't wait. I try to talk to my kids. They say I'm nuts. I'm nuts? You think it's real? You talking?
The world is nuts. You're not nuts, Dan. Dan, but you're not a victim, right? You're a survivor, right?
Would you like to live in hell every day? Survive that? Every day you're in hell?
Every day we are in hell. Like, look at the world. The world is hell, right? Lucifer is the god of the earth, then we are in hell, right?
Yeah, that's what some people believe.
In God. I don't believe in God. I believe in Jesus of Nazareth. I believe in Jesus and Mother Mary. God, I like to pull my hands around and stroke and squeeze their neck until his eyeballs pop out. I believe in Jesus and I believe in Mother Mary. Look what they did to Jesus.
But man did that to Jesus. God did not. Men do evil in women, But men do evil. God doesn't. We all have choices. It's up to us to do good. And if we do evil,
I'd like to say something. Even India and China, they have their own Mother Mary and an own baby Jesus. Somehow, all these, then we have Jesus from the Romans. Somehow, how did all these stories of the same type of mythology or spirituality come about? If you do a little research, you'll see that. India had a Mother Mary and a baby Jesus. Different names, but similar.
Who killed Jesus? Who killed him?
He never died.
No, actually, we all did. Actually, since he became sin for us, we all killed him.
Yeah, I'm just telling you, being nice to speaking well. Pontius Pilate said he didn't do nothing to deserve to die. They said we want him dead. We want them dead, the Jews. And something just finally killed them. So, you believe what's going on over there, what they tell you? Yeah, are you kidding me or what? And Palestine is the world's largest open-air concentration camp. And that's it. And you ain't going to do nothing about it. You ain't gonna do nothing. Oh, you'll disappear.
The Rothschilds a couple of hundred years ago bought a bunch of property down there in Palestine, and they're the ones that created all this mishap and killing those Palestinians with creating Israel and all that shit in 1947. It's all in the mix, and they've been planning all that stuff years ago. They don't mess around. Over.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad to hear about my man, John David Morton. Me and him were close.
Yeah, he got pulled back from death's door. I was on another network when he was in ICU, and I thought he was a goner. And I was talking a little bit about how, you know, he had figured out how to use their own system against them. But his mistake was he was teaching people about bonds and this whole legal system.
Right.
And then they came, and then they threw him in prison for 6 years. But.
Six.
Is that how long he was gone? I partied with Sean David Morton at Hawkfest too. And we had a good time, me and him. It was a great time out there with Nighthawk and the Mona and all those others. With Sean David Morton there. It was a lot of fun. God bless you.
Oh, yeah. Me and Sean were close. I met him at a seminar and we hit it off. And you call him, he can't get through to him. Sometimes he answers me. He gave me the book, Sands of Time, the original, 2010. And well, I'm glad to hear he's doing good. Because, see, he opened his mouth. He told the truth. And the truth hates one another, you should say.
Well, what really happened is that he cracked out like $430,000 in a tax. He got a rebate back from the taxes. Somehow he was able to use their system. And they let it go. He was able to do what he did legally to not get that. But they remembered it. But then Sean started teaching people exactly what he did. That's when they came after him. And I always thought, too.
Yeah, I did it, too. And I got a letter from this SS.
IRS?
Yeah.
Yeah. I got a letter saying, basically, shut your mouth or go to jail. 5 years. So I shut my mouth and went to jail. But everything he said on the back of that card, is your bank account number and a name on the front of that Social Security, you're the straw man. And who was that guy and his son that was going around teaching that in the van? They filled it up with 1,000 bullet holes. Who was that guy?
Father and son team. Yeah, they got killed at a traffic stop. Yeah.
Yeah, they filled the van with 1,000 bullets. Why? Because they told the truth.
Well, they actually were running away. And even though they weren't
Were you there, hijacker?
No.
Did you see
them
running away? You were told that.
Yeah, that's right.
You were told that.
You're right. We don't know anything anymore. Which, speaking of which, so we're coming up on the hour, and I got to drop off. It's almost 1 o'clock my time here.
I got 4 o'clock my time here. So I want to say thank you for having me on, and may all your family have good health, safety, and protection from evil. All of you I love, and you're the only thing I got, really.
God bless you, Dan.
Thank you. God bless you, and thank you for hearing me.
Just remember, you're the best it ever was, and don't let anybody forget that.
Thank you. I'll try to call him early next week, earlier, 1 o'clock my time. You know, that would be better when everybody's there. I like the sergeant.
Get those New York Jets. Get those New York Jets on a winning cycle, would you?
I'm a Dallas Cowboy fan.
Zach's on his way out. But you guys got Trey Lance.
Who?
Okay, Dan and everybody, you all have a good night.
See ya.
All right.
I'm not going nowhere. I might stick around.
All right, guys. Have a good night. God bless you all.
See ya.
Okay. Never say goodbye. Say see ya.
See ya. I always want to be ya.
Good night, Dan.
Sorry, guys. I love you all. I really do.
Thanks.
See ya.
I'm home, Skillet. Well, we still got Pac here, and we still got the studio, and Dan hasn't left it. Deacon and Harry's here, and Two Feathers. Hello, everybody. What's happening? It's raining here in Vegas today, right now.
I want to hear.
Who did that? Who put those hearts up?
I did. I want to hear Sergeant Miller on some of this.
He's not here.
But where's he at, man?
I think he dropped. Well, he left sometime back. He